Good afternoon. I will now call the General Committee meeting to order. Please note that assistive listening devices for use in the Council chambers are available upon request from the Clerk's office. Please ensure that all cell phones are turned off or placed on silent. Are there any members of Council who have to disclose a pecuniary interest? Seeing none, I will now move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the consent agenda. I will read out the title associated with the items on the agenda. Members of General Committee may ask that an item be held so that it can be further discussed. Please indicate your intention to hold an item by pressing your request to speak button. The first person on the list will be afforded the opportunity to speak first to that item. If an item is not held, the motion is deemed to be approved on consent. No further discussion of the item will take place at the meeting. The recommendation will go forward to Council for our consideration at the next meeting. So staff report 2018-8 regarding the 2018 property tax ratios. Approved upon consent. Staff report 2018-10 regarding a license agreement between the Regional Municipality of Peel and the Corporation of the Town of Caledon for the property located on Charleston Side Road west of Airport Road in the Town of Caledon Ward 1. Approved upon consent. Staff report 2018-12 regarding 2015 and 2016 Enhanced Roads Program debenture. This item was held by Councillor DeBoer. Recommendation of advisory committees, Accessibility Advisory Committee report dated January the 18th, 2018. Approved upon consent. Notice of motion regarding the Ontario Revitalizing Main Streets Fund, Mayor Thompson, held by Mayor Thompson. Notice of motion regarding municipal class environmental assessment process by Mayor Thompson. Approved upon consent. Oh, sorry, Councillor Mazzapelli. Notice of motion regarding curbing and landscaping, James Street Road Allowance by Councillor Beffert. Is there any holds? Approved upon consent. Oh, sorry, Councillor Mazzapelli. Notice of motion regarding municipal numbering by Councillor DeBoer. Approved upon consent. Oh. Am I too fast or are you guys too slow today? Notice of motion regarding regulating the keeping of pigeons by Councillor Downey. Held by Councillor Groves. Notice of motion regarding Council Code of Conduct review by Councillor Downey. Held by Councillor Downey. Notice of motion regarding medical facility at Humber Station Road and Healy Road, held by Councillor Groves. Notice of motion regarding enforcement and regulation of illegal cannabis and contraband tobacco by Councillor Innes. This item is held by Councillor Mazzapelli. Notice of motion regarding appointment of an alternate member to the Regional Council by Councillor Innes, held by Councillor Groves. Notice of motion regarding nuisance caused by the production of cannabis, Councillor Shaughnessy. Approved upon consent. Notice of motion regarding advisory committee and task force presentations, Councillor Shaughnessy. Held by Councillor Shaughnessy. Okay. Now the first item that was held by Councillor DeBoer. Sorry, Mr. Delegations first. I will now call upon Tim Forrester to approach the podium to provide a delegation concerning the notice of motion regarding Council Code of Conduct review. Please note that in accordance with the procedural bylaw, you are provided 10 minutes for your delegation. Good afternoon, Mr. Forrester.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for the opportunity to delegate on this matter. There is a need for reviewing the Code of Conduct, but this is not the time or the motion to do it. This motion is obviously a response to Councillor Downey's dissatisfaction with the recent Integrity Commissioner's finding that Councillors Groves and Shaughnessy committed no breach of conduct. The motion's inclusion of guidelines for social media and public meetings is an attempt to police behavior that is beyond a councillor's control. These new guidelines could still infer that any time a councillor commented on or even liked a Facebook comment, they could be charged with a breach, Or councillors could be afraid of passing on information at public meetings for fear their words would be parsed. The code needs to find balance for the freedom to communicate and the diversity of opinion. And this is not the tone of this motion. In Caledon, there is a social media outlet that operates at an arm's length, certain council members, but can certainly be viewed as a private propaganda machine for a particular view on council. It's a cozy relationship that have bloggers obtaining information directly from the town offices. It's even coordinated interviews with staff. One associated blogger has written several defamatory and accusational posts on certain members of council. It would be great if this type of social media could be policed, but this is not the intent of this motion. My sense is that this motion's intent is to muzzle councillors who communicate directly with residents on social media, not through surrogates. On public meetings, I attended a meeting in Cheltenham in December where a councillor stated that it was prudent to have staff for the Southfield Community Centre in the budget in the event the facility was to open early. This was clearly not the intent of the budget line, and jaws did drop in the room at the absurdity of the comment, but nobody filed a code of conduct complaint. Would it be preferred that such comments did not occur? Absolutely. But councillors are human and will say things that are not 100% verifiable. My suggestion is that council members dedicate the last 8 months of council's term representing their residents, not attacking each other. The political use of the integrity commissioner has been a blot on the town, and no one has been left untarnished. Last week, the integrity commissioner delegated council and was at the town offices on Friday. As I have yet to hear any new complaints, I would guess he's recommended a calming period. I see this as an opportunity. Instead of using staff time as outlined in the motion, why not ask the integrity commissioner to provide recommendations on updating the code? He works for council on a $10,000 annual retainer. His visits last week probably cost somewhere between $2,000 and $3,000, leaving money on the table. If council members stop filing complaints against each other, that would allow the integrity commissioner to commit maybe, 20, 25 hours sharing his experience on improving the code of conduct, not costing the Caledon taxpayer a dime or using up valuable staff time. My final comment would be that the next council will be hiring a new integrity commissioner. The new rules require that person to have a legal certification to be a lawyer. Our existing integrity commissioner is not. As such, any recommendations or changes made now will be scrutinized by A, a new council, and B, through a new integrity commissioner, as well as a legal filter. So, yes, let's take advantage of Mr. Fleming's experience, but no, let's not waste any more time and money. Thank you for the opportunity to delegate.
Thank you. We do have a question. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Ennis. You made a comment, Mr. Forrester, that the current integrity commissioner is not qualified to act in that capacity. Is that your opinion?
No, I believe that's the new rules with regards to the integrity commissioner.
Because I'd like to
get somebody might want to confirm that from council, but
I'd like to get confirmation on that.
Sorry, do you want Mr. Gordon to answer before you continue?
Sure. Through the chair to Councillor Mazzapelli. It's my understanding that, yes, so in 2019, the integrity commissioner's roles are expanding to deal with municipal conflict of interest matters. Nowhere in the bill does it say they have to be a lawyer. Many municipalities use legal counsel as their integrity commissioners. Our integrity commissioner has access to his own legal advice, I guess, as per his agreement. So he does, in my opinion, he meets all those requirements and has access to any legal any legal advice, excuse me, I'm not speaking very well, any legal advice he needs independently.
Okay, so just so I'm clear, it is not a requirement that an integrity commissioner be a lawyer. And as you understand it, the qualifications that Mr. Fleming has would continue to qualify him to be an integrity commissioner going forward.
Through the chair to Councillor Mezzapelli, I will have to double check the legislation, but yes, I believe that's the case.
Okay. And I guess the last thing is more a quick point. You did state that you do believe the Councillor Code of Conduct should be reviewed. So you don't contest that aspect. And I guess to pose it then as a question, would you not think, I do my absolute best to maintain the conduct in how I interact with my peers, with staff, with the public, to the greatest, to the highest level that I can, and in any forum that I may be in, including at a public meeting and social media. And this is, over the past little while, a new mechanism, which is good, for councillors to interact with their constituents. Would you not agree that the level that we hold ourselves to with respect to our conduct should follow us, whether we are in council chambers or whether we are posting something on social media or whether we are at a public meeting? Would you not believe or agree that our conduct and the expectations of our conduct should follow us to those realms as well?
I don't believe for a moment that I agree 100% with you. So whether you're in the social media or at a public meeting or at a council meeting, the standard should be the same, period.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Okay, first I want to just quickly state, Tim wrote this yesterday. I was not part of this, so because I saw a couple eyes roll up here on council, so I just want to clarify I had nothing to do with Tim's delegation. That's the first thing. The other thing, and I think Councillor Groves will agree with me, we on those one-on-one meetings that we had with the Integrity Commissioner December 12th, I think it was, actually, Mr. Fleming actually said to Councillor Groves and I that this would be his last term as an integrity commissioner because he did not hold he could not fulfill as per the new legislation, and that now his repertoire would be narrowly scoped down because he wasn't able to continue on. So maybe we, Councillor Groves and I, know that because we had that meeting on December 12th, but he clearly indicated that he would not be able to continue on. So I'm passing that out there because there seemed to be some discrepancy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Forster. So we're into staff report 2018-12 regarding 2015 and 2016 Enhanced Roads Program debenture. This was held by Councillor DeVore because there is an error in the last paragraph where it says exceed 10 years and it should say 11. So I will read that change. We have an amendment from, so I'm just going to have to read it first. Yes. So that the 2015 Enhanced Road Program estimated at a cost of $3,371,000 be funded by a debenture to be issued by the Region of Peel on behalf of the Town of Caledon, and that the 2016 Enhanced Road Program estimated at a cost of $3,413,151 be funded by a debenture to be issued by the Region of Peel on behalf of the Town of Caledon, and that the Region of Peel be requested to issue debt on behalf of the Town of Caledon as part of their debt issuance for the lower tier municipalities in 2018, and that a bylaw be enacted authorizing the clerk and treasurer to execute all required documents to secure the town's portion of funding for this project from a debenture to be issued by the Region of Peel for the upset limit amount of $7 million and for a term not to exceed 10 years. Moved by Councillor Mezzapelli. Seconded by Nick DeBoer. And then we do have an amendment by Councillor DeBoer. Seconded by... Do I have a seconder? Seconded by Mayor Thompson. That the paragraph 4 be amended to delete 10 years and be replaced with 11 years. Are there any questions, comments, concerns? Councillor Mezzapelli.
Yes, Chair Innes, thank you. Just asking for clarification. You indicated it was an error. Or is it just a request to add another year? So I'm just looking for clarification on that.
Ms. Hare.
Through Chair Innes to Councillor Mezzapelli. We found out yesterday that the Region of Peel would like authority to look at debentures of 11 years, just due to the timing of maturities. We might find more beneficial rates if we go slightly over 10.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions or comments, I will call the vote. All those in favor? Carried. Now back to the main motion as amended, moved by Councillor Mezzapelli, seconded by Councillor DeBoer. All those in favor? Carried. Now move on to notices of motion. And the first one is the notice of motion regarding the Ontario Revitalizing Main Streets Fund by Mayor Thompson, whereas the Minister of Agriculture, Food and Rural Affairs, the Honourable Jeff Leal, announced that the new Ontario Revitalizing Main Street Fund at the Rural Ontario Municipal Association Conference, whereas the objective of this fund is to support capital projects for the revitalization of downtown and main streets and does not require matching municipal funds, whereas Caledon's allocation under this new funding is $84,657, and whereas communities in Caledon would benefit from this funding, now therefore be it resolved that the CAO work with staff to examine and research the highest and best use for this funding and that report back to Council outlining recommendations and options following this release of the full program requirements from the Ministry of Agriculture, Food and Rural Affairs. Can I have a seconder, please? Seconded by Councillor Mezzapelli. This item was held by Mayor Thompson.
Thank you. To speak on it, I heard Jeff Leal make this announcement on Tuesday morning and along with Councillor Innes. And one thing that was unique about this, it wasn't tied to what you have to do with the CIPs or what's already for community improvement programs that you have to have a mass. It doesn't matter. It's any small town. And I think this is a huge boost for what we're looking for, because I know Councillor Mezzapelli has brought issues forward concerning, you know, trying to get unification of signposts that are already established. You know, how can we get all the banners that everything matches the same, similar to what we have in Caledon East? We have a number of issues in Caledon Village as well. I know down in Cheltenham. So I think there's a good way here that we are going to get money, no strings attached is what the minister had said. So I think what we really want to clarify is, I think here's something that's going to help all communities and try to get things unified. It'd be really great if we could get all our banners and everything unified in all our communities. And I know some say, well, because the new streetscape's been done by the developer, but here's a chance now that we can match that all through the town, and that's what I'm hoping the staff can go back and do, because this is one of these one-offs that we're going to definitely get. I know rural municipalities in Ontario, especially small urban municipalities, have been asking for this kind of funding, and it came out of the blue. We're grateful for it, but the good news is there's no strings attached like other funding we've got in the past. So I'm looking forward to seeing this is going to help all our communities across Caledon.
Thank you. Councillor Beffert.
Yes, just the only comment I would like to make is with respect to the CAO working with staff. Somewhere in there, they've also got to get some feedback from the Village Association reps to determine. Right now, you've whetted their appetite by saying that there's money available, and each of them has their own concept of what that means for their own village and own hamlet. So somehow, I'm hoping that within this motion, it means that there will be some interaction with the village associations to get their feedback on what's most important to them.
Thank you, Councillor Beffert. And I think that staff have recently conducted, at least I know through my own organizations in Caledon East, that they've conducted a survey amongst some of the villages. And I would hope that staff would take that information that they receive back from groups such as the Caledon East Revitalization Committee and include that in their report, because I think that that information is very valuable, as those are the people that are grassroots that are actually moving the projects forward. So thank you, Councillor Beffert, for bringing that forward. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much. Of course, we always love to see money coming down from the government, which is great. But what they did was they said, here's some money, but we're not going to tell you what it's going to use for, and we're not going to tell you when you're going to get it. But in the initial information that we had, because I don't want to run on everybody here or get too excited, I have to be a realist sometimes. And the fact is that this money might actually just go to a study to figure out how we can improve these areas. It has not been designated for a particular type of use at this point. And even if we look at the funding so far and the general stuff that they sent down, I mean, there's really extreme limits on it, like 70 commercial fronts. So what I'm saying, I support the motion, but I'm not sure how we go and do the highest and best use when we don't have what the government actually says it's going to be used for, and when are they going to do that, and is this one of those good news things that if the government changes in June, do we still get the money? So all those are factors. I'd love to know if anything has been clarified since last week when we spoke, Dave.
Mr. Arbuckle.
Thank you. Through the chair, so we have made another inquiry this week with the ministry to find out whether any parameters have been put around the funding. Unfortunately, staff is still unaware of what the actual restrictions are around those dollars. But again, as we'll continue to stay in touch with them, and as that information comes forward, we'll bring it forward into the report as indicated through the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair. Some quick thoughts, and I guess just a clarification from my part. I did read the letter. I don't have it in front of me outlining this program. But the question, so I know it clearly, is this is not a one-shot injection. This is sustaining funding ongoing year after year. Is that correct?
Mr. Arbuckle?
Thank you. Through the chair, it's not entirely clear, but it does look like one-time funding.
One time, okay. Then even more so to my point, my second point, and I think Councillor Shaughnessy might have mentioned it, is it's not a whole lot of money. It's $84,000, which is great, but it's not a ton. And I would, and I'm sure that the CAO and staff are going to make sure that every dollar gets stretched, but I would hate to see this largely consumed by a study or anything like that, that we allocate it actually to getting capital work done. And I guess my last point would be, although I do represent Ward 5, it's important this is for Caledon as a whole and that it permeate across our municipality to provide that benefit to our downtowns. That would be my, I would support that certainly. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. It's interesting how we can go about looking at the different villages, and is there an intent to come up with a fairly quick work plan as to how to address it and address different villages, or even matching it with, for example, we can use it to match dollars, like our own dollars, so that we can do 50-cent projects to try and make it go a little bit farther. Is there an intent for staff to look at different scenarios like that?
Mr. Arbuckle?
So again, through the chair, so I think there will be more information that comes out from the ministry in relation. They have indicated that matching dollars are not required as part of this program, so the municipality isn't required to match that funding. However, I think it would be incumbent upon staff as we review the requirements to bring back any sort of partnership opportunities that may be available to us. So we'll look at that as we bring forward the report once we have the information.
Because really, $85,000 isn't very far. It won't go very far over all of Caledon, but if it's the 50%, and if we match it with our own dollars, then maybe we can actually accomplish a little bit more across the board. So it's always interesting to come with these things, but then yeah, the details are always slow coming too. Is there a time limit on it? It has to be done this year, or there's not even that information. Okay, thank you.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you. And just along the lines of Councillor DeBoer, through you to Mr. Arbuckle, I do support the matching dollars. I know that the BIA, there are a number of things that in Bolton that they're looking at doing, and funds just aren't enough to go around. So I do support the notion of looking at it. I understand it's not a requirement, but it is certainly a way to sort of stretch those dollars. So I would ask that you consider looking at the BIA in Bolton as well in the projects that they're undertaking to help them out. Thanks.
Thank you. Mayor Thompson.
One thing I needed to clarify that Mr. Leal did say that the money will be channeled through AML, very similar to the gas tax. I meant to say that and I missed that, but that's how. So that's what tells me that the money's going to stream through rather quickly, but we got to figure it out.
Thank you. Seeing no other speakers on the board, moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Mazzapelli. All those in favor? Carried. Municipal class environmental assessment process, whereas a coalition of the Municipal Engineers Association, MEA, and the Residential and Civil Construction Alliance of Ontario have successfully applied to have a review of the municipal class environmental assessment process conducted under Part 4 of Section 61 of the Environmental Bill of Rights Act, 1993, EBR Act, whereas impact studies and public meetings required by the MCEA process often take 2 years or more to complete before construction can commence, whereas the MCEA requirements to evaluate alternatives are often not well aligned with prior or municipal land use planning decisions, whereas analysis by the Residential and Civil Construction Alliance of Ontario, RCCAO, has demonstrated that the time to complete an EA rose from 19 months to 26.7 months and costs went from an average of $113,300 to $386,500, whereas the Auditor General of Ontario has tabled recommendations for modernizing the MCEA process, whereas in spite of written commitments made by the Ministry of the Environment between 2013 and 2015, no action has taken, and whereas local projects that do not have the necessary approvals could lose out on the next intake of Build Canada funding. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Town of Caledon requests that the Minister of the Environment and Climate Change take immediate steps to expedite the response process for Part 2 orders or bump up request as part of the S.61 review to improve MCEA process times and reduce study cost, that the Minister of the Environment and Climate Change support changes to better integrate and harmonize the MCEA process with processes defined under the Planning Act, that the Minister of the Environment and Climate Change amend the scope of the MCEA reports and studies to reduce duplication with the existing public processes and decisions made under municipal official plans and provincial legislation, and that a copy of this resolution be forwarded to the Association of Municipalities of Ontario, AMO, for their information. This item was moved by Mayor Thompson and seconded by Councillor Downey. And the item was originally held by Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Innes. To be clear, I certainly support the spirit of the motion. I am never an advocate for unduly prolonging and adding costs to projects, certainly not. But I do recognize that, on the other hand, sometimes there's justification for having a more complete and robust review as a condition of a project. And to that point, I know I did read the letter from the Ontario Good Roads Association attached to the agenda, which this basically is their proposed motion, a resolution. I'm wondering if it's possible to request, and you know, I can do it on my own, but I would like to publicly state it. Some feedback from staff, you know, Public Works certainly, but also the Energy and Environment section. I'm not sure if they're qualified to respond to this, but I do see the environmental aspect, and I would like to hear some feedback from that type of commenting agency. I'm wondering if that's at all possible.
Ms. Hare?
Through the chair to Councillor Mazzapelli, I can say that Infrastructure Services is supportive of a less costly, more streamlined, but still effective environmental assessment process.
Certainly, I would. I that doesn't surprise me from Public Works that, you know, they like getting projects done and as efficiently and cost-effective as possible. I'm just wondering on the environmental aspect, as these are environmental assessments, whether there was any comment internally from the Environment and Energy section related to this resolution.
I think perhaps we could, Councillor Mezzapelli, it might be most appropriate to ask for a memo from that department, and in particular, perhaps maybe have a response from our engineers for the council meeting that aren't specifically in the environment, but that is their field of expertise and responsibilities.
I concur, and that's ultimately what my request was, to have a memo prior to this coming back to council. But I would ask that the Environment and Energy section be a part of that. This is definitely an environmental component to this, and I would like to receive that. I'm happy to support this going forward, but I would like to receive that information prior to casting a final vote on the matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Thompson.
To clarify a lot of this, this has been an ongoing matter for quite some time by just about everybody, from the professional sector, from the governmental sector, and everything. The challenge is the environment and climate change just has not got around to getting this accomplished. When these EAs were first created, it was necessary back in the early 90s. Since then, a lot of studies and everything have been done. You've seen what we've done on corridors, open space. We've done all these studies, and what's the problem is now that we've already got all the science and the studies, a lot of that is compliant, and what we're doing is in these environmentals is we're doing the work over again and learning nothing new. And what they're saying is it's still important to have the environmentals done, but if the information's already there, why be doing the duplication and huge costs? And this is what we're finding, that we've got limited dollars to fix our roads, and we're doing a re-over on something that's not necessary. There is times that it needs to be kept in place, and this is where I think they're all going in OGRA saying is, if it doesn't meet the standards that there's information lacking, then you trigger the EA to cover that off. But to keep doing this duplication over and over and over again, the studies are costing more than what it is for the bridge or box culvert replacements, and we've got to bring it into line. The challenge is the world has changed a lot since the 90s. We have got caught up, but the trouble is the legislation is draconic, and we've got to bring it up to speed. And this is what it's all about.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Just to add my thoughts on the end of that, and I won't make an amendment today, but I will bring it forward so that the clerk knows, that I would also like to have this forwarded also to our conservation authorities, because I think that they play a role in this process, and I think that they too are looking for means of streamlining the processes and working more collaboratively with the municipalities that they represent. And they are our environmental go-tos, and I think that working in partnership a little bit closely with them on this initiative to serve the best public interest is a priority, and I would be happy that if it is forwarded to the Conservation Authority to at least bring this to the board matter at the Toronto Region Conservation Authority. So I will bring that amendment forward to the council meeting. It doesn't need to happen here today. It's just to add to make sure that it's circulated to our conservation authorities. Okay, seeing no other speakers on the board, moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Downey. All those in favour? All those opposed? Carried. Curbing and landscaping, James Street Road allowance. Whereas the Tim Hortons at Highway 10 and Charleston Side Road has completed the majority of the works outlined in the site plan agreement with the exception of the work on James Street Road allowance. Whereas the owners of both the Tim Hortons and the residential property abutting the James Street Road allowance acknowledge that the road allowance is being used to dump garbage. Whereas the site plan outlined landscaping features for the James Street Road allowance, and whereas the landscaping will not mitigate the garbage issue, now therefore be it resolved that the town complete curbing and landscaping on the road allowance to prevent the negative impacts to the residential properties to an upset limit of $10,000, that the town maintain grass cutting on a continual basis, and that the cost of the curbing and landscaping works be funded from the operating contingency reserve in 2018 to an upset limit of $10,000 if required. Moved by Councillor Beffert, seconded by Councillor Shaughnessy. And this item was held by Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chairness. I certainly understand the ward councillor is looking to get something completed in their ward. I fully respect that. But I do want to do my due diligence in informing yourself prior to casting my vote. So just a few questions. It indicates in the notice of motion that there were, in the site plan agreement, there were works to be done, and most of them were done, but not all. And then the request is to do this curb work. Is that the work that was part of the site plan that was not completed? Because it kind of opens it up to that notion. I just wanted to clarify.
So I think Councillor Beffert would like to respond.
Yeah, if I could respond to that, I think what's happened here, Rob, is that there was in the site plan some provision for the extension of a sidewalk. Everybody realized after looking at it that that would be absolutely meaningless. So most of the work's been done from the site plan, but even the owner says, I would rather not do what is not required, and he will, he's negotiating with the town for some value that he will put back into this to make something happen that actually will stop the problem. So that's where the issue is.
Okay, thank you for the clarification. So it was never in the original site plan to do what is being proposed, because it was originally proposed to put a sidewalk in.
That's correct.
I'm assuming would have been at the developer's cost.
That's correct. And now that we've looked at it, we realize that this will be much better to solve the problem. We put a hold on everything, and we're waiting for this motion to move ahead.
Okay. I guess the last... let me ask a different question. It states here that the garbage will remain an issue regardless of the landscaping. So is that going to be an ongoing issue that we're going to have to address going forward?
No, I don't believe so, because with the curbing, you prevent cars from going into that location and trucks. And I think we'll force them to go to our parking lots that's right across the road.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I guess it's the owners of the Tim Hortons are going to do some work in this area, and then the town is going to partner with them. Is that the intent of this resolution?
Ms. Hare?
Maybe I could carry on.
Sorry, Councillor Beffert.
Basically, that's the intent. What will happen is that if we pass this motion, then the curbing is approved. Then whatever was not done on the site plan, part of that cost will come from the developer, and some of that cost will come from the town to make it happen.
So the curbing that on the street was never intended as part of the site plan, but as part of the overall community design?
It was never part of the site plan, because I don't know how it happened, but the sidewalk was part of the site plan, but the sidewalk leads to nowhere. So we want to take the sidewalk out, and we want to put a curb in.
Okay.
To prevent traffic.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
I was trying to do my drawings over here to explain to my fellow councillors. So just to be clear, is the road was closed many, many years ago. We never did anything with it. We just stuck a couple of planters on it and said to heck with it. And what has to happen is the road has to come up and put down grass. So it's an area that we already maintain part of it from a grass cutting, but it's an old road that's never going to be opened back up again. So we keep putting these big planters there to stop people from parking and, you know, taking their kids' stuff out of the car and the dirty diapers left on the side of the road. And, I mean, it really is quite disgusting. So the sidewalk that the town was on the site plan, the sidewalk was actually a sidewalk to nowhere, because what I think the town thought was that the sidewalk was further on and this new sidewalk would join into it. But there is no sidewalk. So the sidewalk was going to start to go down the edge of the old road, but to nowhere. So the easiest thing to do would just be to put the curbing in, lift up the asphalt, put the dirt down, and grass it. And maybe there'll be a picnic table or something, I don't know. But at least we've cleaned it up and we've stopped the big trucks from backing in there. The towing trucks park in there all night long and run their engines next door to the gentleman who lives right there. So it's about fixing a problem that we probably should have fixed like 10 years ago when we closed the road. But it sits there and it becomes a nuisance to the people in Caledon Village. So I think if we put that curbing in, I think we solve our problem and everybody gets to be happy and go away. It's a nice little compromise. So I just hope that provided clarity. Thank you.
Thank you. Moved by Councillor Beffert, seconded by Councillor Shaughnessy. All those in favor? Carried. Municipal numbering. Whereas Council enacted a municipal numbering bylaw in 2016 that provides guidelines regarding the installation, maintenance, and changing of municipal numbers. Whereas the current policy requires a property owner to pay for the cost of the sign, pole, and installation by the town. Whereas numbering vacant rural properties is both a safety and a service concern. And whereas permitting property owners to install their own municipal number may encourage more participation in installing municipal numbers. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the town's municipal numbering bylaw 2016-064 be amended to permit property owners to have the option to undertake the installation of the sign themselves or request the number be installed by the town at the owner's cost. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Downey, and this item was originally held by Councillor Mezzapelli. Oh. Sorry, I have RM. Sorry. Councillor Shaughnessy.
I can answer by Mezzapelli too, but that's okay. But
no, sorry, that's okay.
Anyways, I think this is great, but I have a couple of questions because I too was approached by members of the PFA and did some research on this myself, and I think the Emily's project is something that we should probably promote here in Caledon. But I went back and looked at the original report to council, and it definitely said that they were allowed to install the signs on their own, that there was only, I think, and this was a few weeks back, that it was either $20 or $30 for this or that, so the total was going to be about $50. But then all of a sudden, somehow, they were told that they had to install, town had to install the sign, and it was like another $300. But the report specifically says that people were able to install their own signs. So I'm trying to figure out how that changed. Thank you.
Ms. Tollett.
Through you, Chair Ennis, to Councillor Shaughnessy. So that was the original report. And then there was a follow-up report in 2016 about municipal numbering. And then they did the bylaw at that point. And at that time, when they consulted with the fire department and staff, they decided to combine it so that it had to be town actually installing the sign to make sure the sign was put in the appropriate spot so fire can see it. So in bringing forward this motion, we did talk to fire about whether that was still a concern. If we change the bylaw to kind of give them regulations to say these are the parameters, this is where you need to put it, this is where it should be, how high, and kind of give them a template, then it's at the owner's discretion to make sure that, and by doing this, then they can pick whether to buy the post, the sign, kind of the original intent of that 2015 report, or have the town install it. So that's what this bylaw would do. So it changed back in 16.
But it wasn't, I mean, I remember that I got all the literature on it, but I didn't see how it was that specific. See, that's the tough part. When you get these reports and you sign off on one thing and then somehow it gets added into something else cumulatively later on, it's hard to pick up. Okay. And I know when I put my number out at my place, I put it on my mailbox just because it's my house, but people put it in different locations. So I would caution you as far as saying, well, it has to go here, there, or wherever, because the topography and the lay of the land may not allow you to put it exactly the way you want. And obviously, if somebody's getting the number, they're putting it there from a visibility perspective. They want to know that if the paramedics or the fire truck has to come to that field, it's got to be where the road is going into that field, or like the truck and the ambulance isn't going to get there. So I'm just saying, try not to make it too restrictive or too legislatively heavy-handed, because I think common sense would prevail that I'm buying the sign because I want fire to be able to get there. So that's just my comments. Thank you, Peggy.
Thank you, Councillor Shaughnessy. And I would presume that they would be similar to our requirements with regards to your mailboxes, those type of standards that we have to ensure that our snowplows aren't hitting them and all those kind of standards that we would have.
That's correct. It's just a template, and we can we'll have that built into the process.
Perfect. Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
Yeah, and I would just take a minute that this came up through a conversation and through staff meeting with members from the Peel Federation of Agriculture to look at delivering a program here, and staff have been working and will continue to work with the Federation and the Fire Department and EM and the Emergency Services to deliver the program that Councillor Shaughnessy talked about, because that's the intent. And this is one step that came up as we were working our way through all the pieces that we had to put together.
Thank you. Seeing no other speakers on the board, moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Downey. All those in favor? Carried. Regulating of keeping of pigeons. Whereas the Council of the Corporation of the Town of Caledon adopted bylaw 2013-130 to regulate the keeping of animals in the Town of Caledon, and whereas the Town of Caledon bylaw 2013-130 does not currently address the care and control of pigeons, and whereas the objectives of the Canadian Pigeons Fanciers Association CPFA are to foster greater interest in the breeding and improvement of pigeons and to demonstrate reward of raising pigeons as an individual or family hobby, and whereas many municipalities regulate the keeping of pigeons within their animal control bylaw, now therefore be it resolved that staff investigate options to regulate the keeping of pigeons in the Town of Caledon and report back. This item was moved by Councillor Downey. Can I have a seconder? Councillor DeBoer. And the item was held by Councillor Groves.
Thank you. We just finished a really lengthy debate on backyard chickens. Spent a lot of time, a lot of resources on this topic. Now we're talking about pigeons. Like, does it end? What are we going to do next? Potbelly pigs? Snakes? I don't know. My point is, Caledon is facing a number of issues, challenges, things that we need to get through, business that we need to get through. And here we are going here again talking about pigeons. I'll tell you, the feedback from the public has not been very favorable in these types of discussions that we're having. They see this as a complete waste of their taxpayers' dollars and staff's time and resource. So I certainly will not be supporting this, because I'm not sure why we're even discussing this. I just think that we have more pressing issues that we need to deal with, and we can use our taxpayers' dollars a little more wiser in addressing priorities to this town of Caledon. So I will certainly not be supporting this and wasting any more taxpayers' dollars on this.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Well, I too support Groves and what she just said. I guess when I saw it, well, I was in emergency all weekend with my mom, so I was Googling and trying to get information. Anyways, I saw, you know, the way I looked at it is, okay, we're going to take one bird, one species at a time. And I, too, agree that this is a waste of taxpayers' money. I also went on to the Canadian Pigeon Fanciers Association just to see how many breeders there were in Caledon who supported it. Were registered, and there was only one registered in all of Caledon that was actually registered. And funny enough, the one registered is actually in my ward. And when I talked to bylaw, they didn't even know they were there, and they've never had a complaint. Now, I don't know if they have birds or not, but they're the only ones that are actually registered with that association. So in talking with bylaw, the issue is that the birds need exercise, and what some people do is they just let them out of their cages in the backyard, and they fly around, and they poop on the neighbor's furniture, and they poop on the neighbor's fence, and they do whatever. Others are very responsible, and they put them in their cars, and they take them a couple hundred miles away, and then let them out, and then they fly home. But they still fly home, and they poop and everything on the neighbor's furniture and fences. So that's why people don't like it. So then talking with, and I was hoping Laura was going to be here because she's bylaw, but she's not. I asked her, why are we doing this one at a time? Why aren't we not looking at holistically and looking at all options through zoning and through bylaw? And I was surprised to hear that they are going to do that. They're doing it in 2019.
So why am I wasting taxpayers' money doing one animal at a time when they've already scheduled it for 2019? And quite frankly, they've got a lot of work down there. They've got the excess fill bylaw, they've got cannabis, they've got a lot of legislation that they're having to deal with and come up with, bylaws. So I think actually, Councillor Downey, I think this would actually be perfect to push forward. I mean, obviously you have somebody who wants pigeons in their backyard, I'm guessing. I actually even looked to find out what they use them for. And it's squab. Like a lot of people actually raise, I don't know a lot, but people actually raise pigeons for actually food too. So I don't know what the intent of this it says for individual or hobby, but they actually raise them also for food. So I think this really truly needs to be pushed to 2019 as bylaw is already going to be reviewing it instead of doing the one-off. So I too won't be supporting it. I do believe it belongs in 2019 with when bylaw actually has it scheduled for review. Thank you.
Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I don't know if staff could tell me, is there an issue ongoing at the present time with regards to the pigeons?
Mr. Order.
Through the chair to Councillor DeBoer, yes, we do have a number of complaints, current complaints right now. I spoke with the manager of regulatory services and she indicated to me today that every year they receive about 2 to 3 complaints regarding pigeons, and pigeons are being used as we grow, especially with our density. We actually have an issue with people living closely and the pigeons are actually used for racing. It's a hobby amongst some people. They prefer that, and taking a quick scan of a lot of municipalities close to us, they do regulate them.
I think Councillor Shaughnessy talks about it. If they're in an area, I imagine it's because everything's getting, to use her words, pooped on.
So through the chair to Councillor DeBoer, yes.
So right now, because
if they are in a residential area, then that is the complaint.
So right now we don't have anything regulating their possible control or where they belong or where they don't belong.
Through the chair to Councillor DeBoer, similar to residential hens, that is correct.
Okay. So, and we've got an issue. We've got neighbors that are being impacted by pigeons. So the request here is that you would be looking at, much like the other ones, what's other communities doing, and then present something. We're not going to reinvent the wheel here. We're going to take a lot of what's already happened, probably.
Mr. Porter.
Through the chair to Councillor DeBoer, that is correct. With our work that we did with residential hens, there was a lot of research done in regards to animal control bylaws and updating them, and we did speak with a number of municipalities on how they handle these types of things.
Would it make sense then if in 2019 the desire to review the wildlife or pet bylaws, would it make sense to move that project ahead and do this one and that one at the same time, or do you see no overlap that this is something that could be done separately?
Through the chair to Councillor DeBoer, it's really up to council what they would prefer to do. Our animal control bylaw, truthfully, is quite outdated. We only regulate cats and dogs and residential hens now. So, again, as a growing municipality, we are receiving more and more complaints, more and more issues about different types of animals, as Councillor Grove said, teacup pigs and various requests for pets, and our bylaw is quite archaic when it comes to what is deemed a pet, in my opinion.
So could I propose that we have an amendment then, that we review, ask staff to come up with a timeline and review of the pet bylaw as part of the 20, as so this, as part
you
of the 2018
2013-13
yeah.
Be reviewed in its entirety?
Yes. Yeah, there it is, 2013-130, that will be reviewed as part of a 2018 work plan, and the staff report back on a timeline where we could do that.
Do I have a seconder? Councillor Downey?
I think it's, we may as well, you know, we've always talked about looking at the bylaw and looking at the pets and the different requirements and the different requests, and maybe it's time we work at it.
Okay, so I have an amendment moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Downey, that the following paragraph be added, that bylaw 2013-130 take place in 20, that a fulsome review of bylaw 2013-130 take place in 2018. So I'm going to clear the board, and it's to speak to the amendment only now, please. Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Ennis. I'll be brief. I understand the intent of this, and I understand also, as general housekeeping, this will be under review anyways in 2019. I don't think we need to reshuffle staff's priorities and work plan. We're going to get to it. It's already outdated. A number of extra months isn't going to change that. I fully expect that this issue will be addressed one way or another at that time. So I will not be supporting this, and I will support it coming up at its scheduled time as a part of the overall review. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Councillor Mezzapelli took the words out of my mouth. I couldn't support this either because I did speak to bylaw, and they felt that they were swamped, is what I heard, and that it was coming up in 2019, and I think we have much more serious matters than two or three cases of some pigeons. And the work that it would take to go through it, and if staff have already told me that they've scheduled it for 2019, who am I as a counselor to say you must move that forward? So I won't be supporting this motion. Thank you.
Councillor Downey.
Thank you. In regards to the amendment, I'm happy to support it in a more fulsome review. During the debate on HENS, I did speak to that after speaking to Bylaw, looking, you know, to the future and the fact that we will be potentially inundated with, you know, complaints surrounding different types of animals we don't regulate at this time. I appreciate that the review is coming forward in 2019, and I've had this conversation at length with staff. I've been hearing about that review for the last 3 years, and unfortunately, in neighborhoods that are of higher density, in that, you know, they're kind of coming online and they're new, our bylaws don't always align with the size and the density of the neighborhood. So, you know, this is one among many many bylaws that do affect the everyday life. So, yes, you know, it's an old bylaw, and no, maybe a few months may not make that big of a difference, but when it's your day-to-day and your everyday in your neighborhood, it does make a difference to you. So I would say that in this respect, I'll definitely support this if we want to look at it in a more fulsome way as opposed to just pigeons. Trust me, I am the last person that wants to rehash the hen debate, but you know, this is necessary, and I think oftentimes bylaw will need those tools. They need it's better to have something regulated than just not at all. Otherwise, you know, you get in a push and pull between the complainant and the resident that is not in compliance. So, you know, trying to find a happy medium there for all of our residents.
Councillor Groves.
I will not be supporting the amendment, and I think Councillors Mezzapelli and Shaughnessy raised some very good points, and the fact that bylaw is looking at doing a holistic review in 2019. We do have a council work plan that we put together. I don't think we've completed most of the projects or many of the projects in that council work plan. These things take dollars. They take taxpayers' dollars to do these programs, and I think that before we start adding more work and more expense, we need to look at our priorities. Our priorities are in that council work plan, and we still haven't completed some of those priorities. So, not sure what the big rush is here. If staff are comfortable in looking at a holistic review in 2019, then that is what I will support, and will not be supporting rushing through this in 2018. We've got a few months left on this council, and we've got many things that we need to complete again, that takes resources and dollars. So.
Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
My intent was, is rather than look at these things as one-off, we've got issues with regards to, and this is what was brought forward with the pigeons, and I could imagine being the neighbors in that location, being underneath them, wouldn't be that pleasant. The fact that staff are looking to review the bylaw and that the clerk has told us that it's archaic and it hasn't been reviewed in quite some time, it is council's priority, or it is council's prerogative to rejig staff's desire for a work plan. I don't think it's out of our out of the realm of our responsibilities and to suggest that this is something that we think we should be dealing with and having dealt with over the course of this year and probably leading into, if there's got to be some meetings and stuff, it's probably going to be into next year, but at least it'll start to happen, and maybe by 19 it'll actually be in place. So, I think it isn't unrealistic for us to move, to request staff to move it around, and I think they can tell us, and they'll probably supply a memo between now and the next council meeting as to what would come out and what they would have to take off the slate or off of the docket so that they could fit this in.
Thank you. Before we move to the next speaker, Councillor DeBoer raised a good point, and so did Councillor Groves before that. To Mr. Gorder, does staff currently have the resources to handle this matter within 2018?
Through the chair to Council. Sorry. Automatic. If this is council's desire, then absolutely we will rejig, and we do have the resources. We do have people on staff that are able to do this work. In addition, because of the recent work that we've done with the hens, as I said, stated earlier, there's already been a lot of pre-work done on this, on the animal control bylaw.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Beffert.
And Councillor DeBoer made a point, and that is that at some point we'd like to see a fulsome review. And yet there are others who believe that maybe there isn't the staffing right now, or there. I just put forward a gentle suggestion that we look at a fulsome review of the bylaw be initiated in 2018 rather than take place. In other words, then we know that this is going to happen, because that was a concern from some, that we didn't really know if it was going to happen in 2019 or not. If we initiate it this year, it will at least be started, and it will come back to the new council after 2019. So I'm just asking if it would be possible for the mover to change, take place, to be initiated.
So it has to be through an amendment before you put forward that amendment. I think maybe staff want to be a little bit more clear about whether or not, I think some council members are saying that they don't think that staff have the resources or the time to do this in 2018. My take in response was that they do, but I think that that needs to be clearly stated so that all members of council know
right.
whether or not staff has the time and the resources to be able to do this in 2018 without compromising any other work that they're currently doing. Mr. Galloway?
Yes, Madam Chair, if Council directs us to do that, I will ensure it is accomplished.
Without compromising any other work that's currently being undertaken by that department?
Correct.
Thank you. Okay. So do you still want to put forward that amendment? No. Thank you. I think that added some clarification for some of us. Okay. Councillor Beffert, do you have any other questions?
No.
Councillor Groves?
So my point is, it's not a priority. Staff felt that they can do this review in 2019. It's not a priority. Not sure why it's here. It is not a priority to do this. Again, I will say we've got a lot of other important things that we need, tasks and projects that we need to complete, and this is certainly not a priority in my books.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Well, we don't want to beat these dead pigeons either, but it seems to be we're back to where we were before with the chicken debate. So I just want to say that you move forward without debate the motion having to do with cannabis and nuisance complaints. That moved forward from this committee to go to council. That's a big undertaking right there, and extremely important.
People live with marijuana facilities right beside them, making life unbearable. We're not talking a couple of pigeons. We're talking, so you just approved on consent this nuisance caused by the production of cannabis, which is being put on by law. It's a huge undertaking if anybody's looked at the legislation and the amount of work that goes into this. And so I'm going to have to stick with what I was told directly. I hear everybody keeps saying, well, if council wishes, if council directs, we'll make it happen. But something's got to give. And I think protection of marijuana, both in Councillor Innes's motion and in my motion that was approved on consent, is far more important to the people of Caledon than a couple of complaints on pigeon poop. So that's all I can say. Thank you. Bye.
So I'm just going to add my comments before we vote. I've often said to staff in my, I don't know how many years at the town, 13 years, my role with the mayor's office beforehand, that pothole that resident is complaining about may not be a big issue to you. But when they drive over it every single time they leave their driveway, it's an issue to them. And so making light of what you may think is not a big issue to you compared to somebody else isn't fair and it isn't right. I think that we have to take all of the complaints that we receive as councillors from our residents, whether it's with regards to that pothole, the pigeon poop that they're dealing with, the backyard hen, the teapot pilly pig that they want to have, or whether they're living next to a grow operation. I think that all of those concerns are legitimate because those are what our residents are dealing with day in and day out. And to say that one is more severe or more important than the other isn't fair because we're not those residents living with those issues day in and day out. So with that being said, also with the fact that we know as council members that many of our regulatory bylaws are far outdated. They were from the 80s and 90s. We've brought up ones where we've talked about the fact that you can't park within 300 meters of a driveway. Good luck parking legally across from town hall. In our bylaws, it's actually illegal to park on any streets in any of our subdivisions. That's an old bylaw from the 80s. It still hasn't been fixed. We have lots of bylaws that we need to go through. If staff are sitting here today and telling us, yes, they're going to look at it in 2019, but they have no problems with doing it today and doing a fulsome report, I think that we should grant them that opportunity. We need to clean up these bylaws. These are our responsibilities as councillors. It's our responsibility to bring forward the issues of our residents and concerns and to do something about them. And if we can look at it as a regulatory, as a wholesome and a fulsome review, I think that that's the prudent thing for us to do. I know that when I brought forward the backyard hens, I had residents telling me I can do it in Brampton, I can do it in Mississauga, and I move up to Caledon East, and now I can't do it. I've had residents, this is the same reason that we brought forward the recreational burn permit. You can have a backyard recreational burn in downtown Toronto, but you can't have one in Caledon? That doesn't make sense. And so we made those changes because that is our responsibility. I don't want to shirk that responsibility. If staff are saying to me that they have the time and the resources and that it's not going to compromise any other work that are on their plate for 2018 or any of the council priorities that we've set forward before them, then I think that we have to follow that and look at this as a whole. And I think that furthermore, council should take a hard look, especially the next term of council, at looking at some of these regulatory bylaws that were done in 1980, a year before I was born, and review them. Because there are some serious changes that need to be made clearly, and they should be done holistically, and that should be mandated as part of the work, and maybe that will be part of the next council's term of council accomplishments that they wish to do. So I support the regulatory review. I know that when we did this review with the backyard hens, I can tell you I had a resident, the first day that it was put in the media, a resident contacted me and said, I've wanted a potbelly pig forever. Forever. Can we do potbelly pigs? So let's look at the whole thing. Why, you know, let's look at the whole issue. And she's going to be so happy that I mentioned this today. So that being said, I will support the amendment. I think that we should look at it proactively. And if staff are saying that they have no issues, they know what's on their plate. They know the mandate that council has put before them. And they also know the mandates that are coming down the pipe. And they've been working very closely, whether it's on the cannabis issue that both Councillor Shaughnessy and I have motions on, because they are very, very important. They know that what is on their plate for them to deal with. And if they're saying they can handle it, then let's help our residents who have to deal with these issues day in and day out resolve them. Seeing no other speakers on the board, the amendment is moved by Councillor DeBoer and seconded by Councillor Downey. All those in favour? 5. All those opposed? Carried. Back to the main motion as amended, moved by Councillor Downey, seconded by Councillor DeBoer. Are there any further speakers? Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair. Just again, very quickly, and certainly, you know, you make a good point about this issue. Although it may not be personally important to myself, I do need to respect that it may be important to others in the community, and so I don't take I don't slant the motion that's before us. I just personally don't put it in the same. Give it the same priority, if you will, as the hen issue. I saw that as a local food issue, and this is not quite that. And the fact that I understand that this will come back in a fulsome review allows me the comfort of knowing that this will be captured amongst all the ones you identified that are, 30 years old at that time. So I respectfully will not be supporting the motion as amended for the reasons I have stated. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you. I was just looking here. Just wanted to get a date because you don't have a date by. Just give me one moment. Okay, so... I'm just going to make a point here, and then I'm done. My motion on nuisances caused by the production of cannabis, I didn't want June 26. I wanted it to come back much sooner. But the bylaw department told me that they were flooded, so therefore I said, well, then don't bring it back until you're able to actually do it. And so it got pushed to the 26. So I'm just saying they're backed up. So I'll let it go now. Thanks. Bye.
Mr. Gorder, did you want to respond to Councillor Shaughnessy's concerns with regards to staff's response time on the cannabis issue?
Through the chair to yourself, sorry. The reason, and Councillor Shaughnessy is correct, we do have a lot of items on our work plan for this year. However, the cannabis one, the reason why we did push at it a little bit later is because a lot of the regulations are still yet unknown. I know our regulatory services staff, as well as OPP, are meeting with the region and looking at a regional approach, as well as working as a working group to finalize some of the things. So that, in my opinion, is I agree. Extremely important, but because of that unknown still yet from some of the provisions, as well as even the position that the OPP is taking at this point, that is why we need to wait for them to provide us with additional information before we can provide our best advice to our council.
Thank you. Oh, Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Chair Innes. Just a couple of points. In regards to the bylaw review and this particular issue, it becomes this funny balancing where residents that live in certain areas are coming forward with specific issues that our bylaws don't align with. And then what happens is, if we can either put resources toward it here or we put resources toward it when they come through Committee of Adjustments. So, you know, it's six of one, half dozen of the other. And unfortunately, in this particular case, I did actually have a resident who came from Mississauga, and Mississauga councillor, the council, just gave them an exemption. and he was able to, you know, keep his birds in his backyard in Mississauga. He then moved to Caledon and couldn't. And then, you know, it runs into back and forth between neighbors and so on and so forth. So by giving our staff the opportunity to regulate the situation, we can find cohesion, you know, amongst all parties. So I think that that's important. And obviously, you know, I didn't come up with this just on my own whim. Staff have looked at it, and there's been quite a bit of conversation back and forth, and seem to be quite happy with the way that it rolls out. And I'm even, you know, I think it's even more important to look at it in a more fulsome review if we're looking at kind of, you know, other types of animals and whatnot. So, and funny enough, there are way more pigeon issues in Ward 2 than hen issues. So hopefully we can sort some of this out and have a better everyday for our residents. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other speakers on the board, motion moved by Councillor Downey, seconded by Councillor DeBoer as amended. All those in favour? All those opposed? Motion carries. Council Code of Conduct Review. Whereas Council adopted a code of conduct for Council members to identify expectations of members of Council and establish guidelines for appropriate conduct. Whereas the Council Code of Conduct is general in nature and does not provide specific guidelines and examples of appropriate conduct for various situations. And whereas corporate procedures relating to respect in the workplace primarily focuses on special measures to address and resolve issues and concerns. Now, therefore, be it resolved that staff be directed to review the Council Code of Conduct and provide recommendations to have the code provisions in better alignment with the expectations of overall respectful workplace conduct, and consideration be provided to have the code a more technical and comprehensive document, including guidelines, including but not limited to the use of social media, roles and responsibilities for hosting or attending community meetings, and staff council relations. This is moved by Councillor Downey, seconded by Mayor Thompson, and this item was held by Councillor Downey. No, Councillor Downey. You can speak to it, though, if you push your button. Councillor Downey.
Thank you, through you, Chair Innes. Albeit fairly self-explanatory, I just a couple of comments, and in regards to the delegation, one comment. I was not in any way, shape, or form dissatisfied by the Integrity Commissioner's findings. I had lengthy conversations with him and interview as well. I have the greatest respect for Mr. Fleming, and often, you know, have conversations with him. I felt that in the open letter from Councillor Shaughnessy, that there were some really good points, and that some of the things that were brought up deserve to be looked at and reviewed. In, you know, reading through the code of conduct, it does become general in some areas where, you know, more legislated documents and corporate documents are very technical, you know, across lots of different agencies. So they become very technical and detailed in nature in terms of staff behavior, council behavior, that type of thing. So, maybe it's just time to look at it. And it just seemed like a good opportunity to look at these things. And there was dissatisfaction was mentioned. So why not move it forward and have a look at it? I think across the board, you know, we can all use a review. And maybe that it comes down to being just that, a review of the alignment of the two documents. We do have a code of a corporate code that we as council members also have to adhere to, not just the code of conduct. So sometimes, you know, that awareness of the fact that those two documents, you know, we have to adhere to both of them, and really just looking at the alignment of those two documents and taking, you know, that accountability for them. Thank you.
Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Innes. I do support a review of this document. Question I have, Mr. Forrester and his delegation, in my opinion, brought a good point about utilizing the Integrity Commissioner as a means of doing that review. I believe that's a good idea. the motion specifically speaks to staff, and maybe it is just understood, so I want to ask the question before we vote on it. Whether it be Mr. Fleming or whomever, be a part of that review? Because I believe that's critical.
Mr. Gorder?
Through the chair to Councillor Mezzapelli, yes, the Integrity Commissioner would be a part of that review. However, if Council wishes to have the Integrity Commissioner take the lead on that, then I would recommend that an amendment be made.
So, to follow up with your last point, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but just to bounce the idea off of you, do you believe that would be the better way to conduct the review as opposed to staff-driven?
Mr. Gorder.
Through the chair to Councillor Mezzapelli, I don't think I have an opinion at this time without giving it some thought and speaking with the Integrity Commissioner. I know currently right now he's looking at the implications of the code and Bill 68 and what that will look like for the new term of council as well, having the code of conduct apply to all committees of council in the 2019. So he is already doing a review in part in regards to the code, so adding this on, I would have to talk to him to find out how many hours it would take him and how much work.
Okay, because if we're going to do a review, I want it to be fulsome and effective. In my mind, whether it's staff that are undertaking it in consultation with the Integrity Commissioner or vice versa, I would expect that fulsome participation on both parties would be the expectation. So I don't want to belabor it. You indicated that the Integrity Commissioner would be a key component of this review, so that I am satisfied that any suggestions, recommendations, that he would have would be included for staff to hear and then provide their recommendations. So with that, I will leave it as it is. I do support it, I believe. And, it talks about, and, even Mr. Forster's delegation talked about public meetings and social media. Those were the items that I specifically identified as being some of the ones that were of concern to me. If there's gaps there, they need to be identified and addressed. We need to take our code of conduct with us everywhere we go. And I think that's really important. Thank you.
Councillor Groves.
I think Mr. Forster raised some very good points with respect to this motion, its timing. I certainly see this motion as something that's really directed a couple of council members. I've seen my name written all over it, and Councillor Jarnes's name written all over it, indirectly. I will also say, in speaking to the public has lost faith, and they've lost trust, and they've lost confidence in this council. An example is this council has taken away their free speech, removing from our agenda the public question period. The whole debate last week about locking of the doors. And I can go on. And I will remind you that the mover of this motion supported both of those items. So I certainly will not be supporting it. I think that I certainly don't disagree that there needs to be a review of the code. I believe the Integrity Commissioner stated that. I've had some residents who read the code and also felt that there needs to be a review of the code, but I don't think that it should be this term of council reviewing it. There's been a lot of drama. There have been a lot of back and forth on this council. There have been a lot of abuse, in my opinion, on the code of conduct, using the code of conduct to bully, intimidate, and discredit members on this council. It is also used to stop free speech and for members of this council to speak boldly. So, It's not something that I want to be governed by, a code of conduct that this council is going to vote on and is going to put in place. So I certainly, as an elected official, I don't want to be governed by that. An example of what went wrong was the complaint that was filed against Councillor Shaughnessy and myself by the mayor and a resident. Certainly that claim was baseless. That claim had no evidence to substantiate it, and the commissioner ruled in his report to council. So I don't think that we should be reviewing it this term of council. I think that it should be up to the next term of council to review it. So I'm going to put a motion of referral that this be referred to a committee of council and citizens for the review and terms of reference. So that's my referral on the floor, and I don't know if somebody wants to second that.
Seconder by Councillor Shaughnessy. So sorry, Councillor Groves, because you don't have it in writing. Can you just repeat that one more time, please, for the clerk?
That this be referred to a committee of council and citizens for the review and terms of reference.
Mr. Porter.
So through the chair to Councillor Groves, because there isn't a committee existing right now, I would recommend that we with this referral you create one.
That's what
or
I
ask me to or ask staff to bring back what you want what the committee to look like. So I think we need just to add a little bit more because there isn't a committee in existence at this time.
Okay, so I would ask that we refer it to the clerk. I guess it would be your department, Carrie, that would create this committee, look at the committee and the structure of the committee and come back to us with that.
So I'm going to clear the board because it's to speak now to the referral only. When I clear the board, I can't leave. You have to. Sorry, yeah, thank you. So I have moved by Councillor Groves and seconded by Councillor Shaughnessy that the amendment read that the matter be referred to staff to create a committee to review the code of conduct consisting of staff and citizen members and report back. Is there a timeline that you want to add to that?
Through the chair to Councillor Groves, I will have to give that some thought, and perhaps if this passes at council,
I thought that you wanted this to be referred to the next term of council because that's not what this reads. And then report back to the next term of council or report back to this term of council? Because we could just add and report back in this term of council or report back to the next term of council. It's up.
Through the chair to Councillor Groves, I just want to remind you that there are a number of legislative changes that are happening to the Code of Conduct, so there will be a review regardless. I know it's very important to me that the new term of council, one of their first items will be to look at the Code of Conduct, especially as it relates to their committee members, because all committee members with the new legislation requires them to adhere to a Code of Conduct as well. So perhaps the new term of council may be preferred.
The next one, yeah. Sorry. So the committee that you strike or you put together will review it, and so the next term of council will deal with it, approve it, deal with it. And that will include all the legislative changes that's happening because I'm not even clear on all of those legislative changes. Like,
So we can say that the matter be referred to staff to create a committee review to review the code of conduct consisting of staff and citizen members and the integrity commissioner?
The integrity commissioner. I would like
and
a
report
lawyer
back to the next term of council.
Can I be specific and ask for a lawyer on there? Because a lot of the changes, my understanding, has to do with a whole bunch of legal stuff. And I know that the integrity commissioners at the region, the one the region appointed was a lawyer. The new one that we just appointed is also a lawyer. So just to understand some of those legal stuff in the new legislative changes, I think we need somebody with a... So maybe when the clerk's looking at striking the committee, maybe that would be something that you could develop in your terms of reference when you put it out there.
Certainly.
Okay.
So does that need to be added, or is that direction?
I don't think it needs to be added.
Okay, it's direction. Yeah. Okay, and the integrity commissioner, does that need to be added?
Well,
we're creating this amendment on the fly.
It needs to be there.
Okay, and report back to the next term of council? Okay. Okay, so moved by Councillor Grove, seconded by Councillor Shaughnessy, that this matter be referred back to staff to create a committee to review the code of conduct consisting of staff, citizen members, and the integrity commissioner, and report back to the next term of council.
Can I just ask a question?
Okay, so if you would like to speak to this or ask questions, push your button to speak. Okay, Councillor Shaughnessy.
Just to remind council, and we weren't all here, but I did go back and look at how it was done before, and we actually did create a committee, I think, in 2009, and then it came in 2010. Actually, Doug, you were on it, and so was Richard Whitehead, and so were a number of residents. So I think that's good to put together a committee with different perspectives. At the region, we always review it and have the code reviewed at the beginning of the term because usually the new term has a new integrity commissioner. So therefore, why would you want to tie the hands of a new integrity commissioner with somebody who wasn't an integrity commissioner who made it up? So I think the idea of sending it forward, gathering information together, be it legislation, be it a legal point of view, be it residents' concerns, councillors' concerns, I think that gives a much better overview. I would just like to say to the clerk that Newmarket did something very similar. I went and reviewed. Like I said, I was in hospital all weekend, so it was easy to Google. And what I found out was Newmarket engaged the public. It was like four different meetings. They came together and provided all the information, and then it was moved forward. I think it's fair because I know there's a lot of residents who have taken issue with how the integrity commissioner has either supported or not supported bringing forward a complaint. So I think getting a resident's perspective is really important. Also, my thoughts on my concern with this particular integrity commissioner is that it was reviewed in 2015, yet he didn't catch any of the errors or mistakes. He allowed it to go on. So I'm going to say right now I don't have a lot of faith. I would prefer that a lawyer catch all those mistakes. I know it was a lawyer who started it at the beginning, it was a town lawyer, actually, but it was still a very new thing. And so I understand how some mistakes happen. But what I wanted council to understand about the Newmarket and engaging people, what was really interesting is that the old council didn't have any problems, and a new council came in and they had 20 million problems. And then the next council came in and they had no problems. So what they really identified out of that was it was really a council communication problem, not a conflict resolution. It was like hit the nuclear button instead of hitting the pause button. And they found, looking at their code, trying to make it stronger and more rigid didn't actually change anything. It's actually the council members involved are the ones that can make the difference. So I support Councillor Groves moving forward in that the review and all the technical information and all the public meetings or whatever come to us and collect it and then move it forward. And whatever lawyer we hire, because I think our particular integrity commissioner finishes at the end of this term and we're going to have to hire a new one. And I'll only throw this out. I think it's really good information to get. But a lot of the other municipalities, upper tier and lower tier, the lower tiers are actually adopting the upper tier code of conduct, just so there's consistency. And I think we should look at the regional one at the same time. But, Madam Clerk, is that something that would come forward, is that we'd look at a couple of existing ones that we're already dealing with in a review process? And once again, that could just come as direction.
So through the chair to Councillor Shaughnessy, of course, whenever we look at any changes, we always do an analysis of various codes,
right?
Both our regional partners as well as other municipalities throughout Ontario, just as we did in 2015 when this one was updated.
Yes. Okay. So, well, we were all new then, and it's really hard as a new councillor to actually understand it. But I think if we do the legwork, I think that's a positive step moving forward. But it's very undemocratic to think you're going to muzzle the public, and it's not something that I would ever think of doing. And everybody has different tolerances and different opinions, and I agree they need to be respected all around. So I guess I will just move on and say I support Councillor Groves' initiative to collect that information to move forward. Thank you.
Councillor Denny.
Thank you, through you, Chair Innes. So understanding the process in which the Code of Conduct would be reviewed through committee, I didn't feel it necessary to add it to the motion. Knowing that we would be moving along that path, actually getting into the weeds and writing out exactly how staff would go about doing that isn't part of my role. However, so I'm happy to support the referral, understanding that it basically accomplishes the same thing. So I'm happy to support that, because really at the end of the day, what we're looking for is to go through that process, strike that committee as was done in the previous review, and have all of that input taken and then move forward based on new information coming forward through Bill 68, and that the next term of council is prepared to deal with that code of conduct review as well. So I'm happy to support the referral.
Mayor Thompson.
Where I was going is really I think this all should be done in the next term of council. Like, to me, this is redundant this term, but there's so much changes coming down this fall on all of this that I think you're going to do a lot of work for naught. I really think let it go and catch it on the next term of council. And I don't disagree with what's put together here, but I think at this point to strike a committee now, when we still do not know where the province is going on a lot of this, I think it's in a year's time, I definitely think it has valid, is very valid.
Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Innes. Not a specific question to the amendment before us, but there were some comments that were made with respect that were said at the during this section with the amendment that I'm a very big believer that words matter, and sometimes I bite my tongue and I just don't press my button, but there's other times where I just can't. And to have it said that the council code of conduct muzzles free speech is a horrible statement to make and totally untrue. And I'm not going to sit here and allow that to be said unchallenged. Muzzling free speech. And it was also said that it muzzle might not have been the word, but it impinges the ability of the public to engage. Categorically not. This manages how we conduct ourselves. That is key in how we engage with the public. I just will not sit here and have it said that this code of conduct muzzles free speech. That is categorically false, and I'm offended to have heard that. Thanks.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you. Mayor Thompson, to your point, and I think that's exactly what we're trying to do. So this way, at least the committee will do the work. Everything is done, and then when the new council comes in, all the work's done, and then they can deal with it. So this way, because there's a lot of work to be done, as you said, and the clerk indicated, with the new legislative changes coming forward. So that's the intent, is that this committee is struck, and the we review it. The review is done, and it gets dealt with at the beginning of the next term of council. So it's just really basically doing the legwork.
Mayor Thompson.
I understand, Councillor Groves, but I think the challenge is a lot of this stuff isn't going to get done till fall. This is what I'm just saying, to strike the committee together now, it's redundant because it's really going to be this fall before we really understand what the out stuff is on it, correct?
So through the chair to Mayor Thompson, you are correct, remembering that my group is running a municipal election this fall.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get
and
to.
And that definitely takes up a lot of, takes up 90% of our resources at the time. So the timing of this we'll definitely have to take a look at, because I can assure you that it will not be happening in the fall while we are busy running this election.
Thank you. Councillor Buffer.
Well, I was on the original committee that put forward the code of conduct, and I remember the hours that we spent. And we did have a lawyer, by the way, who led that committee. And at the time, we did not know what we were creating a code of conduct for. It was brand new, and we put together what we thought was the best possible opportunity, as Councillor Mezzapelli just said, for people to use as a guide for the way in which they operate. And I liken it to building a new model car. We put together a car, and I remember having draft after draft after draft. And then finally the car was ready to put on the market. We didn't know how much it would be driven, but you know, lately it's been driven quite a bit. And we've got a lot of information in that driving. Does the radio work? Does the heater work? I don't know, lots of things. But I think what's important is, and I'll support the motion, because what happens is in the next, I don't care how long, between now and the end of the term, we'll get some feedback. We'll get some feedback as to how that code of conduct was interpreted and how it worked. They could be two different things. We'll also have the opportunity to hear from the current ethics commissioner as to what he thinks. We may lose that if we wait until the next term. And so by the time we put all of those together, it will give a good foundation for the new council to put something together if they, in fact, need to change it or take a look at other models as well. So I would certainly support it, but I just want you to know that back at the time, we really had struggles with what is it that we're putting together here for a code of conduct. We did not have an integrity commissioner. We did not have a code of conduct. I think we did a pretty good job, but I think we need to take a look at it now and see how it can be improved.
Thank you. Seeing no other speakers on the board, I'll add my 2 cents, but I can guarantee you someone's going to speak after I speak, because that seems to be the pattern. I, too, will support the referral. I think that the work is important. I think that I agree with Councillor Mezzapelli's sentiment and do take offense to people saying that this is a means to muzzle. I'll say something that I say to my children. You don't have to be friends with everybody, because when you're 8 years old, that's all that really matters is your friends. That's your whole life right now. You don't have to be friends with everybody, but you must be kind. You must be respectful. That's a message that I share to them, and that's a message that I would bring to this workplace. So when I have a colleague who accuses me of bullying because I choose to vote differently on a matter, I want to be clear. We don't all have the same opinions. This is a democracy. Just because I vote differently than you on an issue does not mean that that issue is a vote in favor of you or against you. The issue is not about you. It's about that issue specifically. Because I choose to use the Council Code of Conduct to bring questions or concerns forward does not mean that I'm bullying you. It's because I have concerns. One of those concerns was validated by the Integrity Commissioner. So I'm not using it to bully. I'm using it because I believe that we have to show decorum when we sit around this table. We have to show decorum when we are at public meetings. We have to show decorum when we are on social media. It's about making sure that our residents understand and know and are given all the information before them and doing it in a respectful manner. We don't always agree. I can say that at the last 3.5 years sitting around this table, I can guarantee you that I have been opposed to almost every single member on this council with regards to one matter or another. And it's not them that I'm opposed to, it's the issue before us. And so I think that if we need to strengthen our code of conduct so that we know better how to regulate ourselves, some people need to use it more than others. That's clear. Some terms of council, some councils need to use it more than other groups of councils. That's very clear. There are new tools that we are using as councillors to share information with our residents, whether it's social media, whether it's email newsletters, and that's good because our residents are getting more information and it's more readily accessible to them and they're making better informed decisions and they know more about their community and they're more engaged. That's good. But we don't have any regulations or rules on how to make sure that we are putting forward the best information possible. And I think we owe that to our residents. That's not muzzling us. That's helping us serve our residents better and to serve our community better. And I support that. And I think that the points made about having the integrity commissioner, having a lawyer, getting all of their perspective, and bringing it forward to the new term of council, I think that's beneficial. And as a new councillor, I know that when we had the very first couple of meetings, we did have the integrity commissioner come in and give us a session. I actually went to one of AMO's session about being a new councillor and what my role is and what my tools are and how to share information with my residents and how to work with my colleagues and, most importantly, how to deal with and work with our staff, and it was beneficial. And so I think that that's great for a new term of council to have, and I fully support that. And I think that we can learn from this and move forward, and I support referring it back to the next term of council. It's unfortunate that we, you know, there were things that we've learned along the way, as Councillor Buffer has said. Does the heat work? Does the radio work? The radio is maybe the social media. So let's take what we've learned and help make it even better for the next term of council, because that is our responsibility. So I fully support the referral and look forward to learning new ways to better communicate with our residents and to have better decorum and respect and kindness amongst our members of council. Mayor Thompson.
Well, Councillor Innes, I think you summed it up very well. And one last thing I will say is telling the truth doesn't get you in trouble.
That being said, there are no other speakers on the board. The removal of the referrals from Councillor Groves and seconded by Councillor Shaughnessy. All those in favor? Motion carries. Okay, so this one was held because we also requires a reconsideration vote of 2/3. And it was held by Councillor Groves. However, I'm going to ask my colleagues if they would prefer to move into closed session to deal with the memo from staff that pertains to this matter as well. Maybe we would want to hear all that in closed session before we discuss reconsideration and opening it back up. Can I have a yes? Yes? Okay. So I need a motion to move into closed session. Moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Beffert. All those in favor? Sorry, and I need to read this one. That the General Committee shall go into confidential session under Section 239 of the Municipal Act for the following purpose: confidential memorandum to Council from Constantine Stravakos, Town Solicitor, Manager, Legal Services, dated February 6, 2018, re-proposed or pending acquisition of land by Town 13068 Humber Station Road, and advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege, including communications for that purpose. All those in favor? Carried. Council will now move into confidential session, and members of the public in attendance are welcome to wait until the conclusion of the confidential session, at which time the public portion of the meeting will continue. Okay, Council will now move back into open session.
And motion resulting from the confidential session reads that the town solicitor be directed to continue to have discussions with Mr. Wilson's solicitor regarding the donation of the Wilson Farm lands. Moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Groves. All those in favor? All those opposed? Carried. Okay. No, that one's yours. So, does council need to make a 2-minute break, or is everybody okay? Okay. Sorry, I know you guys all had a long break, but we didn't. Okay, so now moving on to the next item is the notice of motion regarding medical facility at Humber Station Road and Healy Road. This item must have it's a matter of reconsideration or requires a 2/3 vote before we can even discuss it. So in order for the notice of motion regarding the medical facility at Humber Station Road and Healy Road to be brought forward for council's consideration, a motion of reconsideration is required. A motion to reconsider may be introduced by a member who was present at the meeting and voted in the majority when the decision was made, or who was not present at the meeting when the decision was made. So the motion is that a motion to reconsider the decision with respect to the proposed or pending acquisition of land by the municipality 13068 Humber Station Road as adopted on October 10th, 2017 be permitted. I need a mover and a seconder. So a motion to reconsider. And I believe it's anybody but Councilor. So the only one that can't is Councilor Mezzapelli. I need somebody to move in and second it, or we can't even discuss it. Yes. So moved by Councillor Groves and seconded by Councillor Shaughnessy. So just so that we're clear, what we're voting on right now is the motion to whether or not to reopen this issue to be able to bring forward the notice of motion from Councillor Groves. So basically you're reconsidering the previous decision by council made on September the 26th. Are there any questions? Speakers? Moved by Councillor Groves, seconded by Councillor Shaughnessy. All those in favor? All those opposed? That fails. It's a very long motion, the next one, with regards to the enforcement and regulation of illegal cannabis and contraband tobacco. Does everybody need me to read it, or are you okay with it before you? Okay, so I can't move it, even though it's my original motion. Can I have it moved by Councillor Shaughnessy and seconded by Mayor Thompson? And this item was held by Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Ennis. I certainly support the spirit of the motion. It is quite long and entails quite a bit of jurisdiction. Federal, provincial, local. And it was a lot to digest, and similar to how I did for a previous notice of motion, I'm just wondering between now and when this comes back before us, because it does speak to the Caledon OPP as far as taking a role in this, if we could have a communication from the detachment commander just to reflect on the ask. That would be good for me to provide some more fulsome information on the motion that is proposed. I'm wondering if that is something that I could ask for.
Mr. Gordon.
So through Chair Ennis, to Councillor Mezzapelli, yes, we can make that request. I do want to inform you, however, that both the OPP and the Region of Peel Police are actually at the table at the region right now as a working group with our area municipalities discussing this very motion. So they're aware of this motion, and they are aware of the issues, and they're actually working, all parties are working together on a combined approach to this.
Okay, and that would be good information for me to have.
No problem.
Thanks.
thank you. And since you've opened it, I will speak to it. So a similar motion to this will be presented to the Region of Peel from myself and Councillor McFadden at the Region. We have been speaking with the Peel Regional Police as well as the community group that's brought forward. I know that it's quite lengthy and there's some stuff. The reason why there's two different ones is because obviously we're dealing with Peel Regional Police at Peel, but municipally we're dealing with the fines, and I think that it's very important that as a municipality we are telling the feds who are currently drafting the legislation that when they ticket people that money should be staying in our municipality, because right now that hasn't been a clear direction from them, and I think that we need to tell them we want that money to stay here. It's our taxpayers that are paying for the policing and the POA and all those initiatives, so we need to make sure that that funding actually stays in our municipality. So that was the first thing. The second thing was to deal specifically with some of the issues that we're going to be challenged with a bylaw. Now that individual homeowners will be able to produce plants, we need to make sure that we have some bylaws in place to make sure that we're not going to be dealing with, that we are able to deal with complaints and concerns, especially around children and schools and all those types of environments. So I think that this motion is slightly different than the one that you'll see at the Region of Peel, because it has to address some of the bylaw issues that our staff need to be working on addressing, which they are, but it gives them the support from council saying we support you in working through these initiatives and bringing something back to us. And it also is a little bit different in the sense that we're saying we want the fines to stay in our municipality because the Region of Peel does not regulate that. So you'll see that they're slightly different, and the report going to the Region of Peel is going to be going in March, when our health department at the Region of Peel is going to be dealing with this issue as well, so that we'll be coming from it with a multi-pronged attack, not just from a health perspective, but also from a policing perspective, and making sure that we have a plan in place to help keep our schools and areas and recreational facilities and such where our children frequent safer. And so you'll see those two coming forward, but that's why this one's a little bit different today. And, of course, I have been working with the Caledon OPP. We've spoken on this as well as bylaw. And that committee is well aware of this motion as well. Okay? So moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, seconded by Mayor Thompson. All those in favor? All those in favor? Carried. So the next one... I need a mover and a second. And we also have to fill in the space. So can we discuss it before we can't? So we'll have to amend it then?
Sure.
Okay. So moved by Councillor Groves, seconded by Mayor Thompson. Whereas the Municipal Act was amended to include the provision that a local municipality may appoint one of its members as an alternate member of Regional Council, whereas the Town of Caledon will benefit from appointing an alternate member to Regional Council in the event of an absence, and whereas Brampton City Council adopted a resolution to appoint an alternate member to Regional Council for the remainder of the 2014-2018 term of Council, now therefore be it resolved that Councillor Blank be appointed as the alternate member for the remainder of the 2014-2018 term of Council, and that a bylaw to appoint an alternate member be enacted. So moved by Councillor Groves and seconded by Mayor Thompson. We will require an amendment to fill in that blank. And this was held by Councillor Groves, so she gets to speak first.
Thank you. And I'm happy to move the amendment. So I'm going to be filling in the blank with Councillor DeBoer. So I don't know what the procedure is on that.
So amendment from... Do you want to deal with the amendment first?
Sure. So I'm going to put the amendment on the floor.
Okay.
That therefore it be resolved that Councillor Nick DeBoer be appointed as the alternate member for the remainder of the 2014 to 2018 term of council.
And a seconder? Councillor Mazzapelli? Okay. I'm going to clear the board. Is there any members to speak to the alternate? None? Okay. The name. So we're just speaking to the name first, not the actual... motion. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Yes, thank you very much. I was actually going to nominate Doug, and no offense to Councillor DeBoer. Just that I was considering the worldliness and the fact that Doug has a handle on aggregate. I just didn't think Councillor DeBoer had that handle should something come forward on the west side, but that Doug actually understood also planning issues from the east side. So I guess Councillor Groves got to it before me. So I don't like this process. I think it's an awful process. It's what we put, we did this at the golf meeting where we should be putting people's names forward and then deciding it, not like just throwing somebody's name in. It doesn't seem very democratic to me. But anyways, so I've just made my point. Thank you.
Okay. Seeing other speakers, I guess in being democratic, we should ask Councillor DeBoer if he would stand for that position, because it is a role and responsibility that he would have to adhere to. Yes. Okay, thank you. Okay, no other speakers on the board? Moved. Amendment moved by Councillor Grove, seconded by Councillor Mezzapelli. All those in favor? All those opposed? Okay, so carried. So we're now back to the main motion as amended. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much. I reviewed, I don't have it here with me, unfortunately, but I reviewed City of Brampton's requirements and information that was provided, so the person who was going to be nominated had a better understanding, and this is just simply a motion coming forward with no scope, no understanding, no process. And they actually did that. And so now we've elected somebody, but they actually don't know what the roles, responsibilities, and the guidelines are with regards to that. So I sort of think we did that backwards, but that's just my thought.
Thank you. Mr. Gorder, would you like to comment on that?
Yeah, so through the chair to Councillor Shaughnessy, recall the last general committee meeting, there was a staff report regarding the alternate member, and staff acknowledged the fact that, yes, there wasn't a process in terms of appointing someone, and that the Region of Peel at this time has really, they're the ones who actually established the rules for the alternate member. The City of Brampton already has a process in place because every term, new term of council, they appoint someone to the region. So after speaking with the clerk at the City of Brampton, they were using that process. This notice of motion, there's nothing precluding this process. So if council is comfortable with it, then this is completely fine. I also understand that the Region of Peel still has not established their rules and procedures in their procedural bylaw about the alternate member. But from what I understand, the last regional council meeting, the Brampton member did appear on behalf of Brampton, and that there was nothing preventing that. So I don't see any issue with the town of Caledon appointing someone.
No, I didn't have any issue with them appointing somebody because I was at that meeting. Totally understand it. It was just a process that an understanding of what the roles and responsibilities were, and I understand you provided that report, but it's not what Brampton did, and not that I have to say we have to do what Brampton did. I just thought it was a really good guideline for that. So I'll let that go, but thank you very much, Madam Clerk.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you, and just to reiterate what the clerk just said, and it is a good guideline, and you're absolutely right, Carrie, when the province made that ruling for Brampton to send somebody up to the region, that's they did put that process in place, and there's nothing wrong if we sort of followed their guideline and on how that unfolds. And I think, if I recall correctly, the region deferred this because Mississauga had some concerns because they don't have any local councillors, and so we're all sorting out through that whole process. And I think it's new, and it's a learning curve for all of us, and we're just all kind of working through it and finding our way. So. And I think we will. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Chairness. Through you to the clerk, I know we had a fairly robust conversation around this, and I'm looking at the report, and one of the questions I asked was if the alternate is expected, in all cases, to vote similar to how the potentially absent regional councillor would vote, and it was indicated that that's not the case, which
I would support. And hopefully that is in only the very rare exception, if ever. But looking at the report and the bullets about how it works, if a regional councillor is known that they will not be attending, do they have to, I'm just wondering, do they have to advise the regional clerk or our clerk, and that automatically initiates the alternate so that they have time to prep and all of those things? Or if strategically that, you know, they were going to vote differently and nothing was said, would that alternate in effect not attend because they weren't notified?
So through the chair to Councillor Mazzapelli, it's the intent of, and so again, regional council still has not adopted their changes to the procedural bylaw outlining exactly the decision, but it is recommended in my memo that obviously the alternate member the regional member indicate to the regional clerk as soon as possible that they are asking that the alternate member attend on their behalf. If it's my understanding that if the regional councillor does not want the alternate member to attend on their behalf, that's fine as well. It's only if the regional member requests that alternate member to go on their behalf.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other speakers to the board, in a moment. Motion moved by Councillor Groves, seconded by Mayor Thompson, as amended. All those in favor? All those opposed? Carried. This one, right? And the advisory committee and task force presentations moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, whereas in each term of council, advisory committees and task force are appointed to fulfill certain mandates, and whereas it would be helpful for new members of council to become acquainted with the committee members and their accomplishments, now therefore be it resolved that staff liaisons and members from the advisory committees and task force be invited to provide a presentation for educational purposes and summarize their accomplishments to council early in the 2018 to 2022 term of council. I need a seconder. Seconded by Councillor Groves. And this item was held by Councillor Shaughnessy.
Great, thank you very much. This motion came out of different committees trying to figure out how to make a transition from the old committee to the new committee and from the old council to the new council. And what happened in our term of council was that they didn't come before us. They provided information to the clerk's office, and then that was sort of filtered down through memos or reports or whatever. And some of those members really felt that they weren't getting before council. So I'd had a couple of committees, you know, want to have that better transition from the old council to the new council, and for the new people to understand what they did and what their accomplishments were and how they thought that, you know, moving forward. And I think that's a good way of making sure information travels from one to the next as opposed to filtered. I'm a kind of, I like going to meetings and hearing it for myself, not hearing it from a second or third party. So that's how this came out. It was actually going to be more extensive, and then the clerk and I talked, and I realized there was some complications. But this is more of a transitioning so the committees, and it's really what it is. It's about asking them if they want to do it. It's not they're being invited to do it. It doesn't mean that they have to do it. But I know there's a couple of committees that want to do it already. So that's what this is about. Thank you.
Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Innes. I support the motion. I sit on the Seniors Task Force, and this is something I know that every year, annually, we put together a report or a memo that comes to council. And similar to Councillor Shaughnessy, my personal opinion is that it is more impactful and effective to actually have a physical presentation. And that was one of the things I would, I've mentioned at the seniors task force that I would like to see is an actual physical presentation to council and any members of the public who want to know what's happening on an annual basis, and questions can be asked, clarification can be made. So I support this. It may be a little challenging to have something early in the new year. Staff obviously will be a common thread term over term, but certainly members will be turning over. So depending on the board or the composition, it could be lean as far as the public participation, because they may not carry over term after term. But I certainly support the sharing of information. Again, I would personally love to see an annual presentation just for the public and councils, because council doesn't sit on every task force. Something I would like to see, but this is a start. Thanks.
Thank you. Seeing other speakers on the board, moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, seconded by Councillor Groves. All those in favor? Carried. And correspondence. Are there any items in correspondence package that requires action? Mayor Thompson.
Spectrum Brothers.
Forward. Yep, you can speak to it now if you'd like.
I think it was unfortunate on how it ended at the last council meeting, and I'm going to tell you that man is a ton of integrity, and I think he was asked by a councillor to ask him to send a memo, and I think it's very explicit, and I think it is appropriate that councillors apologize, because this man has a lot of integrity.
Thank you. Councillor Groves, did you wish to speak to that matter? Okay, so let's deal with this matter, and then you can go back on to speak to the next matter. Do you want to speak to it now? Yeah.
Yes, thank you. I just, for the record, want to just put it on record that in no way, for myself anyway, was I ever questioning the integrity of our chief. I have worked extensively with our chief on a number of issues, community issues, and he has been nothing but outstanding. So for the record and for the public and for the chief, I have absolutely no questions when it comes to his integrity. So I'm just going to make that very clear. Thank you.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much. I, too, and thoroughly enjoy working with Inspector Ryan Crothers, and I, too, don't believe there was any intent on anything having to do with his integrity. I actually, just for clarification and for understanding, actually went home, and on Saturday morning, I actually listened through the tape and actually copied all notes down, a little over the top, okay, and listened to it again. And I think the only thing that was seemed to be not understood, and let me just step back for a moment. There is nothing to say that what he said isn't true, and what some counselors here said is true. They both can be true. It may just be that they weren't all articulated at the same point in time. So. I think Councillor Groves and myself were just trying to understand, because our community had asked us, got many emails and calls about asking why he was showing up. And it was a question on Councillor Groves' mind and my mind also. And we were speaking for the community that was asking us. And I think Mayor Thompson, right at the very end of that meeting, said that, you know, he had said, you can talk to the councillors or you can come and delegate council. And I think that's all Councillor Groves and myself were actually looking to find out, how he actually got here. Nobody's taking into question his integrity, his passion, his love for the community. I mean, I have no problems with that. I just think the community was saying to us, like, why is he there? And I didn't have an answer. And who got him
to come was the questions that we were both getting. So that's strictly what it was. But I got an email or a phone message from him telling me that he understood and that there was, no problem from his perspective. But, there was no integrity called into question. I believe he has a passion, and I believe he truly believed those doors should remain closed. We just believe that it should have been done during an audit, not a single use. Thanks.
Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair Ennis. So on the same item, I was present in with all due respect, and honestly, I perceived that delegation and the questions surrounding it differently, and I just want to be open and honest. How I perceived it was that not only how the inspector came to delegate, and I'll be honest, how I felt it was questioned, even after how he expressed why he came forward. But the mayor as well. And I don't know what's in people's minds, but I know what was said and a response that was given, and those responses were challenged, and that's how I perceived it. And so since we are speaking on it, that is my recollection on the matter, and I just wanted to speak to it seeing as we were bringing it up.
Thank you. I, too, will speak to it. There's no other speakers on the board. My perception of that meeting is different. I, too, then listened to the recordings to make sure that I actually heard what I thought that I heard. And while Mayor Thompson has graciously said that we owe him an apology, I think that Mr. Thompson and Mayor Thompson is owed an apology. The reality is there were two members of council. Councillor Groves, you quoted as saying, "I strongly believe that the OPP inspector did not come here on his own volition. People lobby after a vote has been taken and do whatever you need to do to change a vote." Those were direct quotes from what you said. Councillor Shaughnessy, direct quotes from what you said. "I believe that he," referring to the inspector, "was used as a tool to influence this council. I believe it's undue influence. Mr. Mayor, I was told you told him. You asked him to delegate. He was being used as a political tool." Those are exact words. He stood before us when he delegated and said that he was here of his own volition. He wrote in his letter, in the last paragraph, "The reason I initiated and asked for delegation purely to pose further questions." Two members of this council, through their comments, called into question that of the integrity of the police chief, in my opinion, and our mayor. And that may not have been their intention. To sit here and say that any one of us, the mayor, the CAO, any member of council, has any authority to tell our detachment commander what he should or should not do, to direct him to come to council and speak before us on a matter, is not appropriate. Because he is the detachment commander. He is not accountable to any one of us. He's accountable to the OPP. And he's responsible for the safety and well-being of this building and of this community and our residents. So if these councillors aren't willing to make an apology, I think it's quite clear in Inspector Carruthers' email, I will make the apology on behalf of the rest of council, I think, who do not agree. Coming for myself, I do not agree with the comments made by those councillors, and I think that, Mr. Mayor, you are owed an apology, that you did not force him to come here. You didn't ask him to come here. You gave him an option. It's a standard option. When I worked in the mayor's office, that was something we did all the time. That's our responsibility when we're in the mayor's office. When somebody comes and they have a question, you give them all the options before them and they make the decision. He was not asked to come here and delegate by the mayor, and those remarks were clearly said by Councillor Shaughnessy. So if the two of you aren't willing to step up and say, "I made a mistake," or I erred in the caution of my words, I would like the mayor to know and the rest of the residents to know and the community to know that I do not agree with those sentiments, And I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, if you feel that at that point in time that your integrity was called in question, because that was not my understanding or my belief. And the same goes for Inspector Carruthers. Councillor Groves.
You are absolutely correct. Those were my words at the meeting, that's my belief. You're entitled to your opinion, and every one of us at this table is entitled to our own opinion and our own views. Those are my views. I am standing by them. I don't owe the mayor an apology. I'm not going to apologize. I am sorry. The public saw this as this, and I have it on good authority, but I will not be throwing anybody under the bus. So when somebody speaks to me in confidence, I keep it in confidence. So it is my job, and it is my responsibility, and it is my obligation to the people I represent to bring their views to this council table. I did exactly that, and I don't believe I owe an apology to the mayor. This is called politics. This is called representing your constituents. It got heated because it was an important issue for the community, and this is what happens at the council table. And I will also remind you that any person who is paid by the taxpayers, they're accountable to the taxpayers. We are all accountable to the taxpayers. Peel Region's police have been called in question many times at the region of Peel, and these people that are regional councillor at this table sit around at the regional table over there, and we've had several discussions. Nobody runs out of there huffy, and nobody accuses anybody of questioning the police's integrity. It is our job to bring concerns to the table. We all have our opinion and our views, just like you do, Councillor Innes and Councillor Mezzapelli. We all have that. I mean, my integrity has been called into question many times by members of this council. I haven't gotten an apology, and I don't expect to apologize for bringing my views, my opinion, and the residents that I represent, their opinion to this table. Thank you.
Councillor Shaughnessy.
Okay. One thing I'm going to say, this issue shouldn't have been brought up again, because this hurts Inspector Carruthers, 100%. I don't say anything here that I haven't actually been told directly. And I did ask the mayor, and go back and listen to the tape. He said, Ryan Carruthers was in his office, and he said, you can talk to the councillors directly, or you can delegate counsel. The words that I was told was I was asked to delegate counsel. I don't care whether it was asked or suggested or whatever. That's not up to me to make that decision. But everything I said, I had a long discussion with Mr. Inspector Carruthers. So I'm sorry if you take offense, but I actually called him and said I would never blindside you on anything. Let's have a discussion. So when you're wondering whether our residents contacted us and what they thought, I'm going to give you an excerpt right now. And I'm not going to put the person's name in here, and I'm not going to mention who they actually thought, which they didn't think it was the mayor. They thought it was somebody else. I believe he's bringing in the expert to support the item on the work plan. Locking the doors is a ridiculous idea. We all believe that, so please, councillors, don't be convinced otherwise. Unfortunately, Ryan Carruthers is being put in a difficult position of supporting the lockdown. This is one of my residents, and there were numerous ones that contacted us. So am I to ignore my residents, or am I to work on their behalf? And sometimes, you know, you work on their behalf and maybe you don't always agree with it, but you work to the best of your ability. At no time was there any intent on my part to hurt Ryan Carruthers in any way, shape, or form. I was representing the people. And Councillor Innes, well, you know what? I'm not even going to go there. I was going to repeat something. I'm not even going to go there. But we all stand here, and Councillor Groves is quite right. At the region, the Peel Regional Police and Evans have. We've had many heated discussions, So I'm you know what? Maybe people are a little thin-skinned here, but in the real world, we stand up for what we believe in. We say what we believe, and I did not blindside Inspector Carruthers. He knew everything, what I said and what I was worried about. I was worried, and he didn't understand how he was being politically used, and I said because we had made a decision with 5-4 vote, and you coming in, the community's going to say who put you up to it. So it's not my words, it's the community that spoke to us, and I can't do anything about it, but I have to bring my community's concerns forward. So bringing this up again, now our media get to write about it again. And you know what? That's not good for Mr. Carruthers. And this could have been done in a much better form, and I'm really disappointed. Thank you.
I think it's quite good for Inspector Carruthers. He gets to clear the air. He clearly stated that he came here of his own volition. It actually speaks to his integrity. He came here because he's the detachment commander, and the safety and security of this municipality is his responsibility, and he was quite clear in that response. So I think that it's quite good that we have an opportunity to clear the air, because we've all said that we don't want to call into question his integrity. He can't be bullied. He can't be pushed into making a position and making a public statement about the security of this building. So I think that it's quite fair and quite good. And I think that he probably would even be pleased the fact that we've cleared the air and that he's cleared the air with his response. Councillor Mezzapelli.
I see that Councillor Groves is on the board. I was going to hold another piece of correspondence, so if there's... Do you want
he's
to speak
on to another item.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to let Councillor Groves speak. I'm not going to take you off the board. I'm just going to leave you. And then I'm going to leave you as well because you have another item too, right? But you can speak now to this, and then we'll... Okay. So... Councillor Mezzapelli, if you want to bring your other item forward.
Thank you, Chair Ennis. It's general correspondence. Sorry, my error. Memorandums number 2 with respect to Smart Cities Challenge, which is an extremely exciting nationwide endeavor to look at things like openness, integration, transferability, collaboration, and making our communities smarter. At the end, the ask is that a requirement for the application is that it receives council endorsement prior to submission. So I don't know if anything is underway, but certainly I would be happy to initiate whatever required to have that support. I think this is an incredible opportunity for Caledon.
Mr. Arbuckle.
Thank you. Through Chair and to Councillor Mezzapelli. So currently our team has brought together internally a group to start thinking in relation to what sort of position we want to move forward from a town perspective. As outlined in the memorandum, we will be going out to the public and having some ideas coming in from a public perspective. We haven't entirely figured out how we're going to do that, but we're looking at some tactics that we can move forward to allow people to engage, and also reaching out to a number of stakeholders within the community to allow them to provide us with that feedback. And then ultimately we'll bring a report back to council in relation to that, the feedback that we received and the recommendation that we want to move forward with.
So is it at that time that you will need a formal endorsement, or do you need one now to get you going?
No, at that time.
So. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Groves. Yes.
Item number 6, Sylvia Jones, MPP, Dufferin-Caledon, the letter dated January 29th regarding the GTA West Corridor. We've been beating this horse to death. I read her memo. Does anybody have any idea what is happening with that? We've had a cabinet shuffle. They've taken the minister out of there. And now I don't think this minister has a clue what's going on. So we're supposed to get an answer, and I thought the answer was supposed to be coming, is it February? Last week. Okay, so here we are. So nobody has a clue what they're doing. Are we getting an answer?
Mr. Galloway.
Through you, Chair Anista, Councillor Grove, we're waiting patiently.
Well, I think we're going to wait till the cows come home or until after June 7th election, because that's my theory on this, is that they're not going to give an answer to any of this until after that election. So anyway, I guess we'll just keep waiting. I won't and be holding my breath because I'll probably be turning blue holding my breath.
So that Councillor Groves is aware, as Vice Chair of Government Relations at the Region of Peel, I have made the request to the region that we delegate the Minister of Transportation at the upcoming OGRA conference specifically on this topic. And unfortunately, Mr. Arbuckle is not going to be writing our briefing notes, but I'm sure that they will be in touch with you.
Yeah, well, I asked
that we make the delegation request from the town, but knowing that we both made the request, I'm sure that the regions will be granted.
Well, the region, yeah. The region's been asking too and have written letters, and we just, I honestly don't think you're going to get an answer, because this is a hot potato for the province of Ontario, and there's an election on June 7th, and it is going to be an election issue for them. So in my opinion, and it's my opinion, and I'm going to tell you, I've grown some thick-skinned over here since I've been on this council. My skin got real thick because clearly this is an issue right across the board. I mean, they've spent millions of dollars on an EA and only to stop this EA. So we are not getting an answer on this, and it's unfortunate because this is interfering with the planning of many municipalities, all the municipalities and communities that are involved in this and where this study area reaches. So, you know, Councillor Innes, with all due respect, I don't think you're going to get any answers when you go there to that conference, because none of us seem to be getting any answers at all. The region's been asking, we've been pleading, and they've been coming out with more and more timelines and nothing.
I know, but we'll continue to ask. We'll be the nagging municipality. We won't let this one go. Are there any other? Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Chair. And this last one for myself is general correspondence, item number 7. And I just want to state that while I have concerns and reservations with respect to the matter outlined in this letter, which is the potential land donation, I've always appreciated the fact that Mr. Wilson has made the offer. And two, I appreciate that former Marilyn Morrison, mayor of Caledon, submitted the letter. And so just out of respect, I think it's worthy to note and recognize that she did submit a letter on the matter. Obviously, people can have varying different opinions on it, but I just wanted to publicly state that I appreciate her submitting the letter weighing in on the matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing nothing, no other speakers. And we've done the, so I just motion to adjourn. I don't need a motion. That concludes this meeting, and the general committee is now adjourned. Reminder to council members that dinner is in the committee room.